So we're on Daf Vav Amid Beis. And we're looking at Itmar. We're going to start. One second, let me just do one more thing before we start. Okay. So if you count up about 10 lines up from the bottom of Daf Vav Amid Beis, you'll see Itmar. It's the second word in the line. And we're about to learn a machlokas here between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. And this is a pretty fundamental sugya with regard to karbanos. So what is the issue here between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? Itmar. Tumas Hames. Rav Nachman Omar Hutra Hibitzibur. So the word that you want to underline here is the word hutra. And Rav Sheshes Amar Dechuya Hi Betzibur. And here you want to underline the word Dechuya. So Rav Nachman has hutra and Rav Sheshes has Dechuya. Now let's try to understand this step by step. First, level one, which I would call superficial level, just translation of the words, just to get the terminology down. Hutra means that if the karbon or the kohen contracted tumah, then all systems go. Go ahead. That's called hutra. Now, the word betzibur is very critical because this is not so, and this rule doesn't apply to every single karbon, but we have a category of karbonos which is called karbonos tzibur. And a karbon tzibur is, generally speaking, there are exceptions, a karbon shekavu lo zman. It has a specific time. For example, there are karbonos tzibur that are brought on every regel, on every moed. And there's a karbon tamid, two a day, that's also kavu lo zman, that's also a karbon tzibur. So generally speaking, these two concepts go hand in hand. And again, I have to tell you up front, no apologies, that they don't always go hand in hand. There are exceptions. But the general rule in most cases is that a karbon tzibur has a zman kavua. And in that sense, there are two sort of pressing issues with regard to a karbon tzibur. Number one, it's a carbon on behalf of the entire tzibur. And by the way, I'm very happy that you're all here tonight. I just wanted to wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova, so I don't forget to do that. And on top of that, it's kavulem zman. The fact that a carbon is generated by a time period, that gives it a very high-powered status. And Rav Nachman takes this one step further. And he says that Tuma Hutra Betzibur, which means that in a case of Tuma, we don't have to blink, we don't have to look this way, we don't have to look that way. we are going to bring the korban because it's urgent, it's time urgent, and it's on behalf of the tzibur. Rav Sheshet says, tuma d'chuya b'tzibur. The Torah didn't allow you to bring the korban b'tuma. Tuma and korbanos are mutually exclusive. We don't want to take dam tame and put it on the holy mizbeach. But if all systems fail and there's no way out, there's not a single kohen to be had who's tahar, or there's not a single mincha or nesachim or korbanos zevach, and we just have no choice, then the Torah is going to sort of give it a kvetch and look the other way and allow you to bring the korban v'tuma. But it's only an allowance. If I would give you another example, we have a chole on Yom HaKippurim, and it could be that if he fasts, he may come to a situation of life-threatening health situation. So you could look at it in one of two ways. You could say dechuya, and dechuya means, you know, give him a little bit every 9 minutes, shiurim and all this. Or you could say hutra. Hutra means let him eat a full meal. Maybe he should make kiddush even. So this concept of hutra and dechuya, which appears and applies in many different halachic areas throughout Shas, finds its source right here in the case of Tuma in Karbanos. So whereas Rav Nachman is of the opinion Hutra is a very, how should I say, broad and very wide scope halacha, that we can go as far as Hutra, don't look to your left, don't look to your right, just bring the carbon bitum, all systems go. Or Rav Sheshet says dechuya, which means give it a kvetch, look, if we have no other option, and you know, the system is broken down completely, we can't bring the carbon unless we bring a bituma. But if you can find, so here's how the Gemara analyzes this machlokas. The Gemara says the following. Hecha de'ika tmeim utahorim bahu beis av kuliyama lo pligi tahorim avdi utmeim lo avdi. Let's try to understand what's going on. In the avoda of the kohanim in the beis hamikdash, there are two basic groups. One is called the mishmar, and the other is called the Beis Av. The Mishmar is a large brigade of Kohanim, and they divvy up into six subgroups. Now, there are 7 days in the week, and each one of these subgroups, which is called the Beis Av, will be delegated to a certain day. Now, there are 24 mishmaros of Kohanim, so we're going to take 24 weeks out of the year, and each mishmar is going to get 1 week on the first half of the year, and then a second week in the second half of the year. All told, the mishmar gets 2 weeks out of the whole year. And not only that, the mishmar, as we said, is broken down into six batei av. On Shabbos, all the Kohanim are invited to get involved in the Avodah of Shabbos. But the other days of the week, each Beis Av takes over that day. Okay. So again, these concepts will become Mirtz Hashem more familiar as we go along. So the Gemara, in a sense, clears the pathway for this machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. And we're going to have two extremes. And on both these extreme cases, the halacha is absolutely universal and unanimous. And the machlokas is going to be in the middle case. And that's the way the Talmud always works. So let's go from one extreme to the other extreme to the middle. One extreme is the case where the base av, which again is 1/6 of the mishmar, and they have, let's say, this particular base av is on duty on Yom Rishon, and a number of members of that base av contracted tumah, but the balance of the base av are tahorim. Now, in this case, there's no rhyme or reason to choose the Tmeim and those Kohanim that had contracted Tumah to implement the Avodas HaKarbon. It just doesn't make any sense, because for the same token, you have other members of that same base Av who are on duty on that very day, and they are Tahorim. So therefore, the Gemara says, if Tmeim u'tahorim by hi beis av, in a case where the beis av is made up of two groups, some of them are tahorim and some are tmeim, kuliyama lo pligi, this means that even Rav Nachman agrees, tahorim avdi, the tahorim will be chosen, they'll get first dibs to do the karbon, the avodas hakarbon, u'tmeim lo avdi, and the tmeim will not get involved in the avod. Ki pligi, now we get to the case where there is a machlok stream of Nachman and Rav Sheshes. And that's a case where all the Kohanim, every last member of that base Av who's on duty on that day, has contracted Tumah. However, there's a possibility of introducing Kohanim from another base Av. Again, it's not there day today. Their day is tomorrow. La dure ula suye tahorim mi beis av achrine? Question mark. Should we run after? La dure means sort of lachzar. Lachzar in Hebrew means to run after. And bring in the kohanim from a different beis av, who are really only assigned tomorrow's karbonos, tomorrow's avoda, but we'll bring him in one day early because the entire base av has contracted tumah. The base av of Sunday is what you might call in modern terminology a corona hotel, because the entire base av has been afflicted with tumah. Let's isolate them, quarantine them, and let's just bring in, you know, in baseball, we call it from the bullpen, you know, bring in the next on line, the next pitcher to take over this pitcher. And we'll bring in the base out from tomorrow. Rav Nachman Omar, heter hibitzibur velo madrinon. The Torah has designated this base Av to be in charge of the Avod on this particular day. They're all Tmeim. Don't look to the left or the right. Don't start trying to find substitutes and bring in another base Av. Lo madrinon. We don't have to run around looking for second string substitute Kohanim from another base Av. Rav Sheshes Omer dechuya hi betzibur. Rav Sheshes says, well, you know what? The Torah really wants to do everything possible to avoid bringing a carbon bituma. And here we have an option, we have an opportunity to bring in Kohanim from the second base Av, let's say tomorrow's base Av. Let's bring them in, Mahadrinon. Let's run around and try to gather together those Kohanim, because every last Kohen in this base Av has contracted Tumah. So what I want to do now is read to you highlights of a very long essay that's quoted here in the Masifta. That's the Gemara that I use. And he says that, according to Rav Sheshes, the entire base Av has contracted Tumah. Nevertheless, we're not going to apply an overriding to override Tumah. and rather we're going to bring in other kohen. Ma'o adin, what would be the law according to Rav Sheshes? Im nitmu kol ha-mishmar. All six batei av are made up 100% of tmeim. Ha'im, here's the first side, according to Rav Sheshes. Tzorech lachzor lohavi kohanim tohorim mi-mishmar acher. So next week, we have a second mishmar that's on duty. We got to run around, gather together that second mishmar to plug them in and fill in the spots and replace those kohanim from the first mishmar. I'm sorry, from the first base av. So you have the first base av, that's the Sunday, second base av Monday, all six batei av from Sunday all the way down the line till Friday, they're all tmeim. At what point does Rav Sheshes finally agree that we don't have to start running around? We really have a no-win situation, and there's enough tumah going around here that we could allow the process of the Avodas HaKarbuk to take place even b'tumah. The Rambam says, Af kishenitmu kol ha-mishmar, even if every last one of the six batei av, every single kohen in that mishmar, which is made up of six batei av, has contracted tumah, tzorech lachzor achal kohenim tahorim mishmar acher. We've got to go, according to Rav Sheshes, and hunt down another mishmar. I mean, these guys are down, you know, they're down, I don't know where, they're in Acapulco, and they're on the beach. I mean, no, we got to bring these kohenim in. How do you say in English? Ligayesotam. You have to draft them, right? We have to draft them from, again, these kohanim are not even, they're not even thinking of doing the avoda. Their mishmar is not up to bat until next week. No, we got to bring them in. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the super commentary on the Rambam. And again, I'm summarizing a lot of details here, but just to get the essence of it. Hatam, why did the Gemara, Shedibra Gemara biofet shenitmu kol beis ha'av? Why did the Gemara set up the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman in a case where the entire beis av, that's the Sunday kohanim, who are assigned to duty, they all contracted tumah? V'lal ofen shenitmu kol ha'mishmar. According to the Rambam, the Gemara should have told us a more extreme machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes holds that even if the entire mishmar, all 6 days of the various batei av are all tmeim, we still have to go out there, find the kohanim tohorim, until we've exhausted every last kohen on the face of the globe, and we have to recruit any kohen that we could get from another mishmar and bring him in. That would have given us a more extreme machlokas. It would have told us a big chiddush, according to the Rambam, how far Rav Sheshes goes in his dechuya. Dechuya means don't leave any leaf unturned. Find a way of bringing the korban v'tara. Even if it means stretching your arm out and recruiting another mishmar. And he answers, k'dei lashmienu shel Rav Nachman, af shenitma kol ha-beis av, ein tzorech lachzor achal kohanim, mi beis av acher. So the Kesef Mishnah turns it upside down. He says, this Gemara was more interested in Rav Nachman than in Rav Sheshes. We call it favoritism. He doesn't explain why. But the Gemara wanted to tell us a gevaldig chiddush in Rav Nachman, that how far is Rav Nachman going to go? And he's going to have a passive, hands-down kind of attitude. Let's bring the karma with these kohanim. They're on duty. They're tmeim. Hutra b'tzibur. Even if it's one single base av that became tamei, meaning the entire base av, we're not going to bring in tomorrow's on-deck base av from the same mishmar, mind you. We don't have to do that. Tumah hutra b'tzibur. So again, the Gemara, according to Kesef Mishnah, was at a crossroads. It could have told us one of two things. It could have told us a chiddush, how far Rav Sheshes goes of Ladure. Ladure means to run after and find the Kohen Betara. Even if the entire Mishmar, all six Batei Av, are all Tmeim, and we have to now fish our nets, you know, throw our nets out to find another Mishmar that's not even on duty at all during this week. Nevertheless, that's what we have to do because Tumah is Dechuya B'tzivah. We got to do everything we can and leave no stone unturned in order to find a possibility of bringing the Korban B'tara. Or the other alternative way was to tell us a big chiddush in Rav Nachman, that Rav Nachman would hold that even if it's only one base Av, that means just today's assigned Kohanim, our alt Mayim, Rav Nachman would say that the carbon is brought bitumah, and that's called Tumah Hutra B'tzivah. That's all according to the Rambam. However, there are other Rishonim other than Rambam, and they are quoted by the Me'iri. And the Me'iri says that Af L'das Rav Sheshes, even if you hold Tuma Dechuya B'tzibur, Ein Machzirin El Al Kohanim Tahorim Mi Beis Av Sheba Oso Mishmar. We will substitute tomorrow's Kohanim for today's Kohanim. In other words, one Beis Av for the other Beis Av. But if all the Batei Av, meaning the entire Mishmar, for that week's assignment are all Tmeim, is then Lo al koanim mishmar acher, we will not run around looking for another mishmar. So then according to the Me'iri, we now have our structure that I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, that we have two polar extremes about which there's no machlokas. In the case where amongst the base av that are assigned for this particular day, there are tahorim and tmeim, there's no loss whatsoever in giving first dibs to those Kohanim and this base Av, who are assigned for this day, give it to the Tahorim. Let the Tahorim do the Korban. And even Rav Nachman would agree that in that case, it's no effort on our behalf to just give, you know, first shot to the Tahorim and let the Tmeim sit it out. On the other extreme, if the entire Mishmar of all six Batei Av that are in charge of that for that week's avodah in the Beis Hamikdash are all tmeim, even Rav Sheshes would agree that we'll bring the carbon betumah. We don't have to run around and look for another mishmar. The machlokas is going to be in the case where this particular base av, every last member of today's assignment is tomei. Rav Nachman says, well, if the whole base av is tomei, just go ahead and bring the carbon tumah hutra b'tzibur. Rav Sheshes is going to say no. Let's invite tomorrow's Beis Av to serve today. But as we said before, according to the Miri, if all the members of the entire Mishmar for the entire week, every one of the six Batei Av, from the beginning to the end, from the Gadol to the Katan, they're all Tmeim, then even Rav Sheshes would agree that we'll bring the Karbon, we'll bring the Karbon Bitum. Ika Diamri, the Gemara now has a second version of this machlokes, and the Gemara now is going to say that Rav Nachman did not disagree with Rav Sheshes if the entire base of that day contracted tumah. So what is the machlokes? Afilu hecha de'ika tahorim utmeim bahu base av, Pligi Rav Nachman. So the machlokas now is not limited to the case where the entire base Av contracted Tumah, which is the way we understood it in the first Lishna. So that if within that one base Av that's in charge of today's Avoda, you have Tmeim and Tahor, we said according to the first Lishna, then for sure it's no sweat. We don't have to run around. Let the Tahorim in that Beis Av do the Avodah. Nein. The second Lishna rejects that. And there's going to be a Machlokes, even in the case where there are Tahorim and Tmeim in the same Beis Av. Mind you, it's no sweat to allow the Tahorim to do the Avodah. No. Rav Nachman says, let the Tmeim do the Avoda. Avdi Nami Tmeim. There's a green light for every single member of the base Av, whether he's Tahar or Tame. Why? And here we'll look on the top of Daf Zayin Omid Aleph. Dechol Tumas Mes Bitzibur Rachman Shari. The Torah says that if the Kohen is Tame, but he's in charge of the Avoda, it's his base Av, he goes ahead and he does the Avoda because Tuma Hucha Bitzibur, even within the same base Av. We have Tahorim in the base Av, the Chazon Ish, as you know, lived about 50 years ago. He's very perturbed by this Gemara. What do you mean? You have a choice of two Kohanim to do the Avoda. They're Shavah B'Shavah. They're equal, except for one difference. Yankel the Kohen, let's call him Aaron the Kohen, he's Tomei. And Nadav the Kohen is Tar. I mean, why should you have one Kohen? If all the Kohen are equal, just as one's Tomei and one's Tar, what logic could there be to justify Rav Nachman that we dafke give it to the Tomei? You've got a base Av. It's made up of various Kohen, and why give it to the Tomei? So the Chazon Ish comes up with a gevaldige chiddush. And it's based on a sugya Mesechtes Zvachim, which is a sugya called pious. You and I know what a pious is because, in any good neighborhood in Jerusalem, you'll see, or anywhere in Israel, you'll see on the, hopefully in a very fine kikar, some really central place, you'll see a pious, mifal pious. So pious we know is a lottery. And the Gemara says in Zvachim that which one, or which ones, I should say the plural, of the Kohanim in that base Av get first shot at the Avoda. After all, let's assume we don't need every single last member of the base Av to do the Avoda. So we have an entire group, a base Av, that's designated to do the Avoda on this particular day. Who gets to do the Avoda? And in fact, the Gemara in Yuma talks about, later on, about a case where they didn't have a pious, and two Kohanim were running up the ramp. Each one wanted to get there first to do the Avoda, and one pushed the other one over. Don't ask. I mean, it's a big, bloody mess. But normally, there's a pious. He says that according to this second Lishna in Rav Nachman, who's going to participate in the pious? Not only the Tahorim, but even the Tmeim have rights to participate in the pious. Ah, says the Chazon Ish. Now I begin to understand there's some logic to Rav Nachman in the second Lishna. The fact that, let's say I'm a Kohen. I'm not a Kohen, but let's say I was a Kohen. And I became Tamin. Rav Nachman's chiddush is that Tumah Hutra V'tzibur means that I'm not excluded from the Avodas HaKorban. It doesn't mean choose me over him, my buddy over here, my colleague, he's Tar. But the answer is, allow me to participate in the pious. And guess what? I had the winning ticket. And in such a case, Zachu HaTmeim, the Tmeim, or one of the Tmeim, it doesn't matter how many, won the lottery. Osim Hamas Avodas HaKorban. Aval Avodo Shezochu Ben HaTahorim. If let's say Joe Cohen Tahar, he won the pious for a particular Avoda, then Eino Rashoim Litein Litmeim Lasos Osom. In such a case, we're certainly not going to bump off a Tahar for the sake of a Tomei. So why is it that in one base Av, if there are Torah and Tmeim, the Tmeim will do the Avodah? The answer is, says the Chazon Ish, because the Tmeim participated and won the lottery. They won the pious. Very fascinating chiddush of the Chazon Ish. I mean, it puts this whole sugya in a whole different light.
because the second Lishna, in the case where the same base Av has Tmeim and Tahorim, and still Rav Nachman insists that the Tmeim do the Avoda, it sounds absolutely ludicrous. Why give the Avoda to the Tmeim? What is a mitzvah that we have to be matir the Isser of Tuma? You know, you bring your carpet with Tumah is a very severe Isser, so we want to go out of our way to be matir. There's another coin here in this base Av. But the answer is, says the Chazon Ish, the Chiddush of the Lishna Basra in Rav Nachman is that the Tmeim, in the context of Tumah Hutra Betzibur, have rights to participate in the pious. They too will be part of the lottery. And guess what? If they win the lottery, Rav Nachman holds he can't bump them off, because they're holding on to the winning ticket, and they will bring the karma. He says, for kol shkein shim kol base av tahorim, shein lam liten lakonim tmeim base av achir lahak. And as we said before, if the entire base Av are Tmeim, we're not going to... I said the wrong word. If the entire base Av are Tahorim, then we certainly have no right to bring in anyone from a different base Av to substitute... somebody is Tomei from another Beis Av. I mean, again, that's ludicrous to substitute for a Kohen Tar who's within the same Beis Av. Okay, now we're on the top of Daf Zayin Amid Aleph, and we're up to the second line. Now, Rav Sheshes wants to prove his point from a Braisa. What was my source that led me to the conclusion that Tuma is Dechuya B'tzibur? Disanya, we learned in the Braisa, Hoya Omer Umakriv Minchasa Omer V'nitmeis Biyado. Okay, now, here we have to say a few words. When it says Nitmeis Biyado, it's not referring to the Kohen, because then it would have said Vinitma, he became Tomei. So there are two points that we have to make. Number one, the word Vinitmeis is in the feminine. And secondly, Biyado, what's that doing over here? So I have a secret to share with you. The Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes revolves not only around the case where the Kohen became Tomei, but also where the Karban itself became Tomei. So what do? The Karban became Tomei. Do we bring the Karban anyway, or do we say, no, let's try to find the substitute, get rid of this one, and bring in one that's Tar? So the Braisa says that the Kohen was ready to bring the Omer, and as you know, on the 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach, Mimocharas HaShabbos, Shabbos means Pesach, they would be Makriv, the Minchas HaOmer, and that's in the Parashan Emor. The Torah says, Vavesem es Omer, Reishis Ketzurchem Alakoy, Ve'enef es HaOmer, Mimocharas HaShabbos, Yanifenu HaKohen, and Mimocharas HaShabbos means the day after the first day of Yontif, against the Tzdukim, if you know what I'm talking about, in any event. And that's the day, the 16th of Nisan, when they bring the Minchas HaOmer. And a Mincha, in the case of Omer, it's a very unique kind of an Omer, is brought from Seorim, it's brought from barley. That's very atypical. Normally, we bring it from Chita, but here it's brought from barley. And there's a very powerful impact of this Karban Minchas HaOmer. It's Matir Chodesh, all the new grains from this year that reached the stage of Hashrosha, meaning they were rooted in the ground sometime since the last Omer. That's all Chodesh. And when they grow and they develop and you cut them and harvest them, then you have to wait till the Omer is brought before you can eat that. That's called Chodesh. So the Kohen, imagine the scene. know, he's about to be makriv this minchas haomer, and the mincha contracted tumah. Omer, he tells the kohanim that I have news for you. Not such great news. The mincha contracted tumah. Mevi'im acheres tachteo. If we only can, let's find a different mincha. We'll go out to the barley fields and we'll reap another kernel of barley, another, well, whatever is how many kernels, in order to make a substitute mincha to replace the first one. But the Im'ein Sham Elohi, it was not a good season for barley, and this was the last barley they could find, is then Omrim Lo Havi Pikechu Shesok, they tell the Kohanim, you know, we have to bring this mincha betumah, we have no choice, because there is no other possibility, no candidate for a substitute mincha. But Shesok, you know, don't publicize it, because if you can start publicizing the fact that we bring the mincha sa'omer betumah, then some of the spectators and the onlookers are going to come to the mistaken conclusion that even if we had the opportunity of finding a substitute and bringing other barley for the mincha, we would still bring a petumah. So that in order to avoid such a mistake, shesok, don't publicize it. Says Rav Sheshes, k'toni mi'as, omer u'meviyim acheres tachteha, the Kohen, once he realizes, before he's makriv the karban omer, the Minchas Omer, he realizes it contracted tumah. He notifies his colleagues, Mevim Acheres Tachteh, go out to the fields, bring us more barley, we'll crush it, we'll make a bread out of it, and we'll bring the Minchas Omer from Tahori. Now, here we're talking about two things. Number one, a Karban Tzibur, because the Karban Minchas Omer is brought on behalf of the entire Tzibur. Number two, it's Kavur Lazman. The Torah says, "Mimachar Sashabbos." It has to be brought on that day, the 16th of Nisan. Well, according to you, Rav Nachman, once you have those two conditions, the overlap of Tzibur plus Zman, Kavur Zman, then Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur. We don't have to run around and find a substitute. And yet the Braisa says explicitly that we have to replace this Karban Minchas HaOmer with a Tahar. That proves that Tumah D'Chuya B'Tzibur. What a beautiful raya Rav Sheshes has from a braisa. Unbelievable. Now the ball is in Rav Nachman's court because he has to somehow reconcile himself with this braisa. Om Rav Nachman says, don't derive the conclusion that Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur from this case, from this braisa. Why? Modina Hecha De'ika Shiraim L'Achila. Wow. Ika Shiraim L'Achila. This is a major breakthrough in Rav Nachman's Tumah Hutcha B'Tzibur. Tumah Hutcha B'Tzibur applies when there's no loss to the Kohen. What difference does it make to the Kohen? Let's take, for example, a Karban Ola. As you know, I don't have to tell you this, an Ola is Kula Kola, is burnt on the Mizbeach. The Kohen don't get to enjoy any part of the Karban Ola. So we say to the Kohen, you know what? It's betumah, but bring it anyway, because you don't lose anything by it. But in the case, excuse me, of a Karban Anechal, where the Torah says that you get to eat it, that only applies if the Karban itself is tar. But if the Karban contracted tumah, yes, the Kohen is allowed to bring the Karban, because tumah hutcha b'tzibur, but he's not allowed to eat the carbon because the carbon is tame. And to eat a carbon tame is a lav d'oraisa. So Rav Nachman says, guess what? The carbon ha'omer is nechal l'kohen. And if we are going to bring the carbon omer betuma, we are cutting the kohenim out from their rights to eat the carbon. Now you and I may say, what's a loaf of barley bread? You know, I don't know if you gentlemen eat barley bread. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it, although some say it's healthier than wheat bread. All I can tell you is that Cheerios now has a very good product that's made of barley, and it's full grain barley, and I love it. I eat it every day. But the Kohen doesn't want to be cut out from this. I'll tell you what it's about here, Rabosai. When the Kohen wins the pious, he's not excited about the fact that he can fill up his belly and eat the karma. Like, for example, in the case of Omer, in the case of Shlomim, and other kinds of karmanos, that he's allowed and entitled to eat the karma. He's interested in the mitzvah, like the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was Moshe so eager to cross the Jordan and enter into the land? He was so desirable to eat those wonderful fruits of Eretz Yisrael. But the Kohanim want to take an opportunity and grab it by its horns, you know, exploit this wonderful golden opportunity to be mekayim the great mitzvah of achilas karbon, of achilas kodesh. And therefore, says Rav Nachman, I would agree that if we can search the land and come up with a substitute barley in order to bring the Omer from Tahar and allow the Kohen HaOved, who was Zochen the pious, he won the lottery, to enjoy this mitzvah, that's what we're going to have to do. And that's called Modina Hecha De'ika Shiraim L'Achila. If the Kohenim, who are the Ovdim, you know, those Kohenim who are in charge of the Avoda, they have rights. We call it a chelek. A chelek means they have a portion in that karma, which is nechal, which could be eaten. Then we better go around and look for something that's tahor, so that we can facilitate and allow the kohanim to fulfill their mitzvah of achilas kodesh. Because if we bring it bituma, then we are cutting out the kohanim. They're not allowed to eat it bituma. Now this, you should know, is based on a sugya in Masechet Pesachim. A lot of the fundamentals of Kodshim are in Masechet Pesachim, in the sugya of Korban Pesach. And the Gemara establishes on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis in Pesachim that Kol HaKarbonos HaKreven Betuma, that every single Karbon, with the exception of only one, if it's brought Betuma, when we apply the principle of Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, is afal gavdi hitira haTorah lakrivan betum, even though the Torah says, for the sake of the karbon, we're allowing you to bring a betuma, kidei lahotzias hatzibur yidei chavasim, so that the tzibur will fulfill that chiyuv, mikomakom lo hitira Torah li ochla betuma. The Torah did not allow the eating of the karbon betuma. And therefore, we're going to run around trying to find a karbon that's tahar as a substitute for the one that's tameh, in order to facilitate the kohanim eating their chelek in the karbon. And this is a very fascinating dimension of Rav Nachman. I mean, it really sheds a whole new light on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is saying that if we're not in any way undermining the rights of the kohen, and all things are equal because the carbon is not nechal in any event, whether it's tar or it's tummy, then bring a bituma. And stop running around and racking your brains to try to find a substitute tar. But if the kohen has rights to eat it, and now as a result of the fact that you brought a carbon tummy, you have cut out his rights because the Torah prohibits the kohen from eating this carbon tummy, then go ahead and run around and try to find a carbon tar to substitute for the one that's tameh. And that's going to be the case of Minchas HaOmer, where we have a halacha called Shirayim Necholim LeKohanim. In other words, part of the karbon, part of the Omer is brought on the Mizbeach, but there's something called Shirayim, and that part is designated for the Kohanim to eat the Shiari HaMincha, and therefore we will bring a substitute karbon if we can only get a hold of Siorim Tahorim. But again, if there's no Siorim on the face of the earth, then we'll go ahead and bring this carbon bituma. And on this is no machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Okay, now the Gemara says, if Rav Sheshes did not succeed in convincing Rav Nachman based on that first brisa of Minchas HaOmer, what is Rav Nachman going to do with this second brisa? Look at the second brisa. Meisve, which means that the members of the yeshiva raised a kasha and objection to Rav Nachman from a brisa. We're talking about a kohen shaya makriv minchas porim v'elim ukvasim. So again, we're learning the laws of a mincha. And as you know, a mincha is always a karbon that's accompanying a zevach. So the main karbon is the zevach, and its escort is the mincha. And there are various zvachim. There's zvachim that are brought from parim, from cows, from elim, from rams, from kvasim, from sheep. And the mincha that accompanies any one of these three categories of animals, v'nitmes b'yado, once again, the Kohen, while he's preparing the avoda of the mincha, he finds out, lo and behold, that the karmon is tameh. The mincha is a mincha tmeah. Omer, he notifies the other Kohenim that this happened and that the mincha contracted tumah. Umevim acheres tachtela. And they have to, again, like we saw in the previous price, they have to bring a substitute tar. Im ein sham elohi, if there's no possibility, omer lo hevi, you know, don't get out the word that we're bringing it for tumah, because the onlooker might come to the mistaken conclusion that even if all things are equal, we'll bring the carbon for tumah. My love, shouldn't we assume that parim elim ukvasim, when we talk about the minchas nesachim here of parim elim ukvasim, we're referring to chad, rabosai. You and I know that we are approximately 3 days away from Chag HaSukkos. Who would believe that 3 days before Chag HaSukkos, we would be learning a sugya about Chag HaSukkos? I don't know how such a fluke happened, but that's what happened. We are now, Rabosai, preparing for Chag HaSukkos. Not just because we're putting up schach and building a sukkah. So on Chag HaSukkos, we bring karbonos, and those karbonos on Chag HaSukkos have to be accompanied by karban mincha. So on Sukkos, we have parim, we have kvasim, we can go through the parsha of Chag HaSukkos and go through all the different numbers of animals that we have to brought. That we have to bring, and we have to bring a mincha. Now, what happens? A mincha, which is called in this context minchas nesachim, is doche tumah, it overrides tumah. Why? Because in the karbanos of Chag HaSukkos, we have two elements. Number one is the karban tzibur. And if you happen to remember, the numbers go up from the first day of Sukkos to the last day of Sukkos. I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that the numbers go down. That's what I meant to say. Until we reach one, you know, one last par that we bring on Shmini Atzeres. And it's a carbon tzibur, which is kavul and zman. Every day of Sukkos is the zman is machayv the karmon. So therefore, we can apply the principle of overriding tumah. And nevertheless, the Braisa says that if we have a possibility of getting a substitute mincha, bring it in from the bullpen, and that mincha is mincha's tahora, that's what exactly we have to do. We're not going to be makriv the karbon mincha bitumah. Now, when it comes to minchas nesachim, it's completely burnt on the mizbeach. There's no segment, no chelik of the karbon that's nechal lekohen. Now, Rav Nachman, you're in deep trouble. Because here we have a principle of tumah d'chuya b'tzibur. Meaning, if we can find a substitute, a mincha tahora, that's what we're required to do. We'll have to run around the whole world, the whole globe, until we can find a mincha tahora. If we can't find one, then we'll bring this bitumah, and even Rav Sheshes would agree. But we have to run around and find a tahor, even though the Kohen has no chelek whatsoever. There's no part of this mincha that's nechal kohen. If it's kulo kali al mizbeach, it's completely burnt. Now, honestly, at this point, I thought hands down, you know, Rav Nachman, we call it, I don't like to use this term, TKO. You know, that's it. You know, the game is over. And, you know, Rocky won the match. That's it. Amal l'chor Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman comes up with a brilliant move. And he says, wait a minute. Let's look at this list of animals which are accompanied by the mincha that became a mincha tameh. The first on the list is parim. Well, guess what? I have a par that is not brought on Sukkos, and in fact, it has no zman kavua. What's he talking? Par avodah zarah. This, my friends, is called a par helim dover shel tzivu. There's an entire parsha in the Torah, by Midbar Perek Tesvav. The chitishgu v'lo tasu is called mitzvah se'ele. Kol mitzvah se'ele refers to avodah zarah. V'hoya imeinei ha'eda nasat b'shkaga. V'asu kol ha'eda par ben bakar echad li'ola. And a par is brought as a carbon ola. Minchaso, and they bring a mincha. And the Gemara tells us in Masech Tahorios on Daf Ches that they worshipped an avodah zarah, and the Torah says that avodah zarah is unique. It's different than every other mitzvah in the Torah. In any other mitzvah, if the Kahal of Klal Yisrael, based on a mistaken horah of Bezdin, violated a mitzvah, then they bring a par, but the par is lechatos. In Avodah Zorah, if the Kahal, based on a toz in the horah of Bezdin, worshipped an idol, then they bring a par li'ola, and this par is unique, not only in the fact that it's an ola, but also in the fact that it's accompanied by a minchas nisachim, as the pasuk says explicitly, u'minchaso kimishpat. So we now have a mincha that's going to accompany a par. It's the par of avodah zarah, and guess what? It's lo kavul lo zman. It's not in any way related to the zman. And we said that Rav Nachman, in presenting the view of tumah hutra b'tzibur, he bases it on two conditions. There are two pushes that project us into Tumah. And that is, number one, it's a carbon tzibur. In this case, we can fulfill that condition. The power of avodah zarah is a carbon tzibur. But it also has to be kavua zman. And this power is not kavua zman. Go figure out on what day, chas v'shalom, there'll be a horas bezdin, and the people of Israel as a community will violate avodah zarah. Ah, in that case, Mahadrinon, we have to run around and find a substitute par, and we can't bring this par. And even though the par is an ola, which means obviously the Kohanim don't get any chelek of it, but nevertheless, we have to find the substitute because it's not kavul ozma. And one of the two conditions for hutra has not been fulfilled. Okay, fine. Rav Nachman brilliantly has avoided the problem with regard to parit. But now we go on to the second category mentioned in this price, and that's elim. And once again, we thought these elim were the elim of Chag HaSukkos, which means that they have both conditions. It's a carbon zibor, and it's kavul ozman. Name. This is the aisle that Aaron brings on Yom Kippur. And what's unique about the aisle of Aaron HaKohen on Yom Kippur? It is a Karbon Yachid Shekavul Ozman. Here we have the flip side. In the case of a par of Avodah Zarah, we had a Karbon Tzibur, but it was Lo Kavul Ozman. The partial, the aisle of Aaron on Yom Kippur is just the reverse. It's a Karbon Shekavul Ozman. Every Yom Kippur he has to bring this aisle, Aaron, but it's a carbon yachid, it's not a carbon tzivur. And this is based on a parsha in the Torah, in Vayikra Tezayin, obviously in Parsha Sachrimos, and the Torah says there, Bezos Yavo Aaron Alakodesh Bepar Ben Boko Lechatos V'ayoli Ola. So this is the Elo Shel Kohen Gadol. He has to bring his own private aisle. He has to pay for it from his own pocket. And he's obligated to bring that Korban Yochid at his man Kavua, but it's not a Korban Tzibur, it's his private Korban. The Afagav, the Kfil Ozman, came in the Shel Yochid, who is there for Madrinon, and Rav Nachman agrees that here it's Tuma, Dechuya, Bitzibur, it's not Hucha Bitzibur. And finally, we get to the third category, which is Kvasim. And once again, we thought these were the Kvasim of Chag, which are a Korban Tzibur, Shekavu Olam Zman. Nein, this is the Keves Haba Im HaOmer. When they brought the Minchas HaOmer, the Torah commands us, again in Parshas Emor, in the Parshas of the Omer, Vasisem B'yom HaNifchem Es HaOmer Keves Tomim Ben Shnosol Liola Lashem. So it's a Keves that's an Ola. And De'ika Shirayim L'Achila. Now, this is a very unique karma. Why? Because this karman is accompanied by a mincha, and even though the karman itself is a karman ola, which is completely, totally burnt on the mizbeach, so the kohenim have no chelek, but nevertheless, the mincha that accompanies the karman is shirayim l'achila. It means that if this mincha, which is the mincha sa'omer, becomes Tomei, as we explained earlier, we have to find a substitute mincha in order to facilitate and guarantee that the Kohanim should be able to eat from that Karban mincha. Now, before we end the shir, I just want to point out a highlight of this Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Kevan, which is the second Tosfos on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. And he makes the following point. He says that midaraisa on a deraisa level, there's no difference between karbonis tzibur and karbonis yochid, which is the Gemara's distinction here in Elo Shel Aaron. That's all derabbanan. On a deraisa level, the two categories are kavu lehem zman and ain kavu lehem zman. In the case of Elo Shel Kohen, it's kavu lehem zman, and therefore we should apply the halach of hutra b'tzibur, at least on a Doraisa level. Elo shechachomim gozru, they made a gzera, shekarbonos yochid, dochim es hatuma. And lechatchil yesh lechazer lasosam betar, instead of applying hutra betzibur for this kavul emzman, but since the karbon yochid, we're going to apply the principle of dechuya. And the reason for that is because, as the Shagasari is famous for saying, the Gzeira is that people shouldn't think that we could be matted to bring a Karban Bituma, even if it's a Karban Yochid She'eno Kavu Lo Zman. So that's one point that I wanted to make. And another point that I wanted to make is the following, that Ein Heter Hatuma Toli B'Karban Tzibra L'Kol Shezmano Kavua. If it's man kavua, huter betumah, as we said before, regarding the Elo Shel Aaron, mechol she'ein zman kavua lo hutrar betzibur. There's no hutra betzibur if it's not zman kavua. So the really bottom line here is that, at least on a deraisa level, everything hinges on whether it's zman kavua or eino zman kavua. Now, in the case of the Minchas HaOmer, as we said before, we want to allow the Kohanim the ability to be Ochel Shireha, the Shirayim, and therefore we're going to look for a substitute. And here, the Riva Hezekashi says that the Gemara had quoted a Brisa beforehand already to establish that the Omer was brought with a Minchas HaOmer, and how can we say that a Minchas Kvasim, which is mentioned here in this Braisa, is the Minchas HaOmer? And the Minchas HaOmer was already mentioned explicitly in the Braisa. So that's the question that the Riva has here on this Gemara.
So let's just make a note of where we got up to. We're here on Daf Zayin Omen Aleph, and we're up to Mesve, which is approximately halfway down the Amud. I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a Chag Sameach, and Mr. Shem will meet again 2 weeks from tonight.